From Yoga Ayurveda Living, I am Kelly Marie Mills, and this is The Dosha Life, a podcast for wellness seekers, curators of happiness, and lovers of healthy living. Yoga and Ayurveda are sister traditional sciences seeking health in body, mind, and soul. Welcome to my happy place. This is Series 2, Digesting Our Life. You are on Digesting Our Life with Gunas. Okay, so we covered very lightly, like confectioner's sugar dusted over an apple sponge cake, yummy, the importance of our Agni, the digestive fire and how each dosha digests life. Now, we go into a brief look at our digestive power in correlation to our mind and body together. I love how Ayurveda constantly helps me understand why I lean towards one thing or another. My dosha balance sways me. Not Dean Martin. You know that song, don't you? Sway with me. Oh, na ma 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 na na da na na. Anyway, this is one of the biggest components of Ayurveda that makes me so happy. Self-understanding. The interaction of knowledge and self-study creates the unusual effect of self-understanding, which encourages and opens us to compassion of the self. Of course, it can depend on the nature of the student and how they look at self-study and how much sattva they have in their mind. So you'll understand that in a moment, because this is karma in the personality mind. And this can help or hinder our development of compassion. Compassion to the self is an attribute that enhances our life experience. It is only from real self-understanding, looking at our behaviors and attitudes, how we perceive things, feeling our internal dislike of self and our deep judginess of self and probably more of others, although it's really stemming from ourselves, that we learn how our mind works, that we learn about our deepest inset patterns, but also we start to see patterns in other people. We see what winds them up. We see if we do one thing, they are probably going to react to that. If you've ever watched siblings and how they wind each other up so easily, this is patterns opening out freely. But there is no book that can describe how you see the world, only you. So, how our mind digests our life, how our subtle doshas navigate our life is as important as the physical doshas we wake up with every morning, looking in the mirror at, to, towards. I know we didn't get to the subtle doshas yet. So yeah, we have these three major benefic subtle forms of the doshas. So they are not tangible. We can't see them. We know that they're present because of our mind working. I consider them, and it could be wrong, but I do consider them like the angel versus devil, these cartoony characters that sit on our shoulders. I don't know if you ever saw Emperor's New Groove. It's a cartoon that I used to watch with my kids. One of the cartoon characters had the little angel and the devil left and right on his shoulders. And he was always having conversations with them, and they were very troublesome. But we have these doshas in our subtle body, but we're not going to take it too literally and go too deep into it, but that these are energy formulas of what we see in our body right now. So the subtle doshas that we have come from, they manifested materially. So it's a part of the Sankhya system, the system in which Ayurveda and yoga are founded in. It's the science of enumeration. One thing began, and then everything comes from that one specific thing, which is Purusha. Coming back again to this here, we have these doshas in our subtle body. And it all goes back to the very beginning of how our body came to being. This body that you know and feed and nourish every day is manifested from an unseen form. And so that's why we call it the energy body or subtle body. These subtle doshas have different names, but the subtle form of vata, which you know well, the subtle form is prana. The subtle form of pitta is tejas. and the subtle form of kapha is ojas. These give us our discernment, or it could appear sometimes as lack of discernment too. These are the benefic doshas, so they benefit us. They give us the power to overcome experiences that we did not want in our life. They give us strength to carry on when we feel we cannot. They help us to be adaptable, use clear reasoning and creativity to approach a situation. They give patience and strength and psychological stability. And that's a big one right now, isn't it? Really, you know, that patience, strength and psychological stability. And when I go to look at the subtle doshas, I always think of the hobbits. If you haven't seen The Lord of the Rings, at the very end, there's these two characters, Frodo and Sam, and how they continued on towards what everyone believed was going to be their deaths. If you don't know the story, maybe you should stop this right now. But even when the odds were looking pretty bad, you know, like with Gollum was losing his nut on Mount Doom. I mean, if there was ever a time to go back to the Shire, that was it. But they held tough, and Samwise, the ultimate fighting kapha type, standing his ground and carrying Frodo as far as he could because of his faith and fortitude of mind and body. The Lord of the Rings aside, our subtle doshas help us with decision-making and all the attributes we strive to bring into our life. But they have their own little battles too. What Ayurveda understands is that what we eat helps our mind activity rise to learn and live in deep contentment, happiness, and discernment. And what we eat can also keep us in a cycle that feels uncomfortable and sticky, Groundhog Day-ish, and maybe as if we're missing out on something better. So it's a choice of two doors every day. The door which I choose today, one is red with gold rim, and the other door is just simple wood. The door I'm most familiar with is the red door with the gold rim, and it doesn't challenge me too much. I don't always get what I want, and things don't always happen the way I expected. And all of this frustrates me. It probably scatters me, and more than likely I feel sad, low, or depressed. But at least I know it. Or today, I could pick the other unassuming door, the one where every time I can become aware of what I eat, why I choose that option, how I eat, where I eat, when I eat. And I try to find and pick the best option each time, reminding myself with endless sticky notes all over my kitchen and presses in my car that I need to take my herbs, portion is potent, fruit freshens. All these little reminders become second nature, and this door, this unassuming plain wood door, becomes the door I use from today on. I don't need to check out the old red door adorned with gold and gilt anymore. So when we do find that our choices become less and our decisions become clear, we're beginning to open to something new. Our clearer eating holds health for body and mind, but our subtle doshas also have another little battle to deal with. Like our physical body has the senses to work with, they are always tempting us to make another decision. And yes, you can have that bag of crisps just for today, and the mind will continue to have a conversation. No, get the bigger bag. The small bag always makes you want more. And how about something full of sugar to give you that lift? And after all, we did just finish Veganuary and Dryanuary. So now we can go into a bit of who's going to care Ebuary, can't we? The wheels in the subtle dosha are frantically trying to deal with these three things that beat our drum daily. Sattva. We all love Sattva. She is angelic, virtuous, harmonious. And it's not actually a her. There's no gender base for her. Sattva is that harmonious component within all of us. It's that harmonious attribute. Sattva is translated basically as the principle of intelligence. I did talk about sattva in the introduction in Ayurveda when I was saying the yogi diet is specifically for a practitioner to develop sattva. The nutrition is aimed at building a sattvic body and mind. So we work through the physical body to actually help the mind become clear. This works really well, but if you do the two together, working with the physical body and your food and nutrition, also then working with your mind through meditation and mantra, this will work easier. And for most of us, a sattvic diet would be very restrictive, and we would feel it's a cleansing diet and probably not very sustainable for our modern lifestyle. Yoga knows that the more sattva we have in our mind, there is an ease as we become silent, inner and outer. We become lit. We are starlight. We are joy. Most of us can meet moments of sattva. We come to sattva in our meditations, our relaxations, silent sittings and interactions with complete awareness, but it is all fleeting. Sattva offers us happiness and contentment. It has a lifting and inward movement. It is related to the soul's lightness. So sattva floats into the disruptive conversation that you've just had before you go to the till to purchase your kale and organic rice. And sattva says, "We all did so much in January, we can stay and build on that for another few weeks, can't we?" And the mind starts bouncing all over the place like a monkey grabbing everything it can to bring home and eat. Meet Rajas, the principle of energy. It comes in like it's in a bouncing castle. Rajas is the disruptive, dispersive, hyperactive, reactive energy. Rajas creates pain and friction, and it wants everything. It wants it all for itself. And this Rajas, the principle of energy, is self-seeking and self-motivated. So it's bouncing around in the mind, and then suddenly a big dark cloud of heaviness enters the equation, slumping in like a veil of confusion, skulking along close to the ground, and it's a downward motion of inertia that puts the brakes on Rajas just for a moment. Meet Tamas, the principle of materiality. Dull, and it decays. It comes from the principle of inert presence, and it wants to take it in and hide with all that Rajas wants, just to sit and stop and not be anywhere where anything is. Puts the brakes on everything, that thick dullness. Even just reading it, leaving Tamas till the end, it's like a real bummer, isn't it? But don't be too bummed, because there are three in this blend of energy, and they need to coexist. Their activity is to strive to remain within sattva, where they can meet in existence together. One is not without the others. These atomic principles of life and dynamic living, they're never at rest. They're always in flux and flow. To stop is to no longer be in existence. By now, you're like, where is this going? Like, what is this all about? So hang on. So we all have these three gunas in our mind, G-U-N-A-S, in our subtle energy body. And what we nourish ourselves with has a lot to do with how these living principles coexist within our being. So now it's probably making sense where I'm going. Nourishment of the mind has more to do with senses, what we take in, and our ability to express with discernment. And our karma increases our sattva or keeps it stable. Sattva creates harmony, but we need the two others to overcome obstacles. These gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, they work together. And our karma increases our sattva or keeps it stable, like where it is. So sattva creates harmony, so most of us think, so I want to have sattva really dominant. But if we have sattva really dominant, nothing will change. This is why they need to coexist together. Sattva creates harmony, but we need the other two to overcome obstacles and push through difficulties. Sattva is so harmonious that it stays there and keeps everything on an even keel. So what I'm getting at is what we think is just as important as what we eat. How we think, why we think, who we think about, all this stuff in our mind and how we express ourselves and develop discernment and compassion all create a living space for our mind. It's like our front room, where we sit down and cozy up to the fire, or not. Our living in our mind can be very comfortable or very difficult. Meditation and relaxation both have a great place for our mind's benefit to seek a salve in these difficult days, and most especially in this world right now, where we are at an unknown space. Yoga practices that help you focus, keep your body free from congestion, free from this ama, and we try and sustain a balanced agony, and this will help us to develop strong health. But walking outside in nature is one of the best salves for body, mind, and soul. Be in nature. And to be in nature is not just walking. I know I went for a walk yesterday, and I was so far not even enjoying the trees until there's this really quirky tree in one of the woods here, and it made me remember. So I took out my earphones because I was listening to a podcast. And I decided, because I haven't done that for a long time, but I have been full of rajas this week. I have found it a very disruptive week for me internally. And so I was trying to find focus by listening to a podcast. It probably wasn't very helpful that it was actually a murder mystery podcast, but anyway, that's my own stuff. So when we're in nature, be in between the breeze and the people passing, and be in the steps and the grass and the clouds, and be awake and not in your thinking mind or in a discussion that you wish you had, that you wanted to say and you didn't say. And then it all gets to be not a walk of stress relief, but a walk of stress. But I'm not saying podcasts when we're walking and music when we're walking is a bad thing. We all need to find space and time for nature in our lives, and that's what I'm encouraging. There is no right or wrong. There is a space for everything in our lives, but nature is so healing because it is a part of all that is. That's really it. It's a part of where we come from. We're very linked to nature because of the five elements. So if we could, as we walk, be here and live here in this moment, this is where we're at, just now. And take the gunas with you and walk with them. It's a really unusual practice. I have sattva now. Oops, the laundry just walked in, that's rajas. And then it's blank in my mind. That must be tamas mooching around. And I feel a bit lighter, that's sattva. Yeah, oops, I thought about tamas and that's rajas jumping in. That's cognitive, those things. And a memory, something old. Is that tamas or is it rajas? Oh, and the breeze and nature. Sattva comes in. And me, I'm between them all. I'm here. Here I am, alive. And thanks to the gunas, I'm beginning to learn a little bit more. Present to just me. Opening myself to understanding a little bit better how this traditional science of Ayurveda and yoga can help develop compassion for myself, so that then, without me even knowing it, compassion will come pouring out of me. That is my wish. I wish it for you too. Thank you for joining me, everyone, today. If it was confusing, just send me a text or an email, kelly@thedoshalife, and I look forward to chatting to you in the next episode. And what is good? And what good is self-understanding? Like, what are you talking about, woman? Okay.